Runs kindly for Morrison. It's Cal Morrison! Just listen to this, please! Spencer takes over. It's Brad Spencer! It's in the back of the net! There's Donaldson driving forward. Cole Donaldson! That is simply ridiculous! There's Tom Lang! Oh my word! Unbelievable! Phenomenal! Incredible! Invincible!
This is Falkirk Daft. With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk Football Fans in Training.
Hello and welcome to episode 100 of Falkirk Daft. Where's our telegram from King Charles himself? I wonder. 100 not out. We raise our little wee navy blue cricket bat. You see, that's what they do in the cricket, Ross. To the applause of the crowd. Hello, I am John McAnally. Welcome to Falkirk Daft. And how good are we looking today? We've moved through to Glasgow since it's the 100th episode, and we're in HD, which means you get to see the ginger god of pod in all his glory. Hello, Ross Wayne.
Hello, good morning, sir. How are you?
Here we go. Here in look at that. Look at you in HD,
I would rather not be.
Look at you on the telly. You can see yourself on the telly.
I'll say hi to my mum. There we go. Do you know, when we're talking in the car, this is the first time I have been to Clyde Bank since 1994. When we won the league,
really,
in the old first division. Well, as you said,
why else would you come to Clyde Bank? I have to come here every day for my work.
But it is cool. We've got the graphics behind us. We're in an HD LED studio. It's a one off, isn't it?
It's a wee trip. We just thought we'd do something special for the 100th episode. So no, it's good to. It does feel very strange because usually I'm on the other side of the camera doing all the work, but I'm sitting where Gordon Duncan normally sits or where Stephen Mill normally sits. So it's all a bit strange for me.
It's different, isn't it? Plus, we normally do on the podcast on Zoom, so like we're normally sitting about in our pants, so we can't do that today.
Well, we are because I'm.
You're half naked.
Listen, thank you for listening. Thank you if you've been with us for 100 episodes. That's unbelievable. Got to say happy wedding anniversary before we kick off to a man I met in Behind the Wall last night. Brian Johnson, dad of my good pal Barry. They were in hospital yesterday and he came up. He's got a Falkirk Daft bucket hat and came up, offered to buy me a pint and stuff. It was in 54th wedding anniversary they were in celebrating last night.
No, massive congratulations. That's a good shift, isn't it?
I know.
Well, we're thanking people. Obviously, we also got a pint paid for us yesterday by Mark in the bar and Behind the Wall, which was nice of him as well.
I know, exactly. No, and though our sponsor, Mr. And happy birthday to our sponsor
as well.
This is like the birthday spot now. Like it used to be on kids' TV.
Any cartoons been sent in?
Yeah.
Let's not mention cartoons.
We've had enough of that. But happy birthday to everyone. If you've got a birthday and you would like to send in a card, send it to John and Ross at Falkirk Daft and we'll read out in next week's show. We obviously, the signing of loan players came and went on Monday. Last week, we were kind of speculating, would we get a striker in? It didn't happen in the end.
No. Based on the interviews that we've heard from John, he was looking for a particular quality of player and he's not been able to get one in. He's obviously tried. He's said that two or three times in the last couple of weeks that there was money there to go and do it. He's not found a quality. There was a few names being rumoured.
I heard the names Bobby Wales, which we know how well he did at Alloa last season, but I think he's been getting his game for Kilmarnock. And I also heard from Kilmarnock Innes Cameron as well, who would have been a very good fit if he'd managed to get him.
Yeah, either of those. Probably more so Innes Cameron because of his stature and his height and stuff. But listen, it's Kilmarnock's prerogative to say no. They might not say no in January. And I'm not saying that, that's who... Obviously, John McGlynn may have different names on his list, but if that's an available backup or someone who can come in and fight for a jersey, that wouldn't be a bad signing as well. But no, we're going with what we have, and on the basis of yesterday, the shirt is Gary Oliver's to lose just now.
I mean, we'll talk about Gary Oliver's performance, 100 appearances for Gary.
Indeed.
As well. We'll talk about that as the podcast goes. We've got our guest pundit here this week as well, Elsa.
I think she's been on two, three. This may be her fourth time on the podcast.
I think fourth.
I think it as well. Yeah. So she's going to be our guest pundit, one of our favourite pundits. So I'm glad Elsie's going to be joining us to talk about the air game a bit later on. But before we get into that, thanks to our sponsors, the Falkirk Football Fans in Training, T8, supporting each other through football, making memories. You arrive as opponents, you leave as friends, and you get great friends. We're meant to have been in hospitality with them yesterday, but we had to cancel, unfortunately, which is a shame. But I'm sure that'll happen down the road, because the boys are always in hospital. If you're looking for a good day out, get involved in the T8s. They are down at the stadium every Monday between 8 and 9, on Tuesday between 7.30 and 8.30. And they've got the new initiative, you know what I like, the Super Vets Football, Ross. It's... tandem with the Falkirk Foundation's Walking Football Squad. They've created this Super Vets Football. It's over 50s only, 8-a-side, but playing to the old school 5-a-side rules. And that's happening at the stadium every Friday between 5 and 6. So get off your couch and get involved, because it's like I say, camaraderie is brilliant. The boys are absolutely brilliant. And that is the Falkirk Football Fans in Training. Get in touch. All the links are in the bio below. Speak to Ian, Willie or Dougie and get signed up and go along and play with those guys. Stuff going on around the club. Talk about the women that have fortunately exited the club last. We were doing the podcast while the game was going on, then the girls got beat 4-1 in the end.
Yeah, there was a bit of a sore scoreline for them, because I think it was one each when we checked, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, a little bit of a sore one. However, they have had a bit of news this week, though, haven't they? They signed Jane McRae.
Yep, from Edinburgh Cali.
Yep, so that's absolutely brilliant. Another signing in the door there. So what a strong squad they've got. Aye. It is a strong squad. And I know, like we've mentioned a few times, we're going to... I think we should organise like a Falkirk Daft day. Like, let's try and fill as much of the main stand as we can. Like, how good would that be? Like, we pick a game.
Yeah.
Obviously, it'd be brilliant to for them to get big crowds every home game, but why don't we pick a game?
What a great idea, Ross. Let's do that. We'll speak to Stevie and the rest of the troops over at the World Cup Poker when we work out what the best game to go to would be. But that's a great idea. The girls are away, but the game will have happened by the time you'll hear this. They're playing Glasgow Girls at Strathclyde Park today, so we'll catch up on the results next week, because we're recording a bit earlier than normal this week. Falkirk Podcast is out. The club's own podcast is out. Colin Barrows does a great job on that, and he's speaking to the backroom and the coaching staff. So Andy Tannehill, Blair Doughty, Cammy McAndrew, and big time Chris McGill discuss their roles at the club. I've not listened to it yet, but I'm very much looking forward to hearing what Chris has to say.
It's a really, really good listen, John. Like, brilliant insight into not just what they do.
Oh, is it really football geeky stuff?
A little bit. It's a good mix. It's a bit geeky with the tech side of things, but also in terms of like finding out about the guys, how they've got to kind of where they are as well. Yeah. Obviously, we've had big time on before.
Yeah.
I would say it's a bit soon, isn't it? It's like he's cheated on us a wee bit. Like the sheets are still warm. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think he's his friend anymore. But after I picked him out for putting the Falkirk Daft logo on upside down last week.
Yeah, and you're hoping to get stuff for your dinner.
I know, it'd be nice. Chris, I love you. So yeah, go and catch that out wherever you get your podcasts. Dylan Tate's been named Player of the Month for September, as voted for by the supporters. Couple of contenders probably through September, but Dylan Tate, worthy?
Yeah, very worthy. He's had like a phenomenal start to the season, I love the like every part of his game. So he's a brilliant player, technically very good. He's passionate. He wants to score goals. He wants to pick out passes. But I also quite like the wee, like, nasty wee guy side of him as well.
You would hate, you know what?
You'd hate to play against him, wouldn't you?
As an opposition supporter, you'd hate him, wouldn't you?
Of course you would.
Yeah, if he was playing for another team, you'd absolutely... Yeah. You'd be like, what a little
This Aki's game coming up.
Oh my God.
If there's a betting system where we can get like him to score and be
get sent off.
Well, you probably wouldn't get sent off, but you'd love him to score a goal, just go right over to that small pocket of Hamilton fans in the corner of the stand, giving it whatever he wants to do, just go and join them. Like, just jump the barrier and go in, mate. That would be brilliant. But he's, what a player, deservedly that. See, when you saw the scores, though, from September, it doesn't read well on paper, because obviously we got beat from Stenisweir. Like, you know how the club put the graphic up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there was the loss to Stenisweir, which was a great game.
No.
There's the win over Airdrie, brilliant. They've then got the loss to Celtic. Now, that doesn't really show how well the game was.
On paper, 5-2, yeah.
Aye, and then obviously the Wraith game. So as a month, September wasn't brilliant, but Tate massively stood out. There's others that could have got it as well. But for me, Dylan Tate was just phenomenal.
That's why Green Day wrote a song about it, Wake Me Up When September Ends.
There we go.
Yeah. Anyway, Falkirk Football Club is considering introducing a new free-to-join membership for supporters groups. And I'm looking for feedback from the fans. This is something that Paddy's involved with in the commercial team. So they're basically looking to create a formalised membership for supporters groups, clubs and buses. And it's the proposals going through will be once per year supporters club reps meeting with the club, open a line of communication between SLO and supporters groups, if not already in place, opportunity to reserve season ticket holder, tickets for high demand away matches and have a page. There's a lot of good stuff going on. It seems like a good idea on paper, this.
It
I
does.
I don't know why people wouldn't want to do this.
Well, yeah, exactly. Especially with it being free and aye, there's loads of supporters groups. Like, I don't think it'll be limited to, well, you'd assume supporters buses will join.
Yeah.
But I bet there's groups of people who, like, not from a formalised supporters bus that get together as well. So I think this is really, really good. And yeah, it seems like a no-brainer. Sharing information for like the supporters' buses was one of the things they mentioned as well. Remember they used to do that in the Herald? Like the back page of the Falkirk Herald? Like, remember when
we're going back to you. Last week we were talking about the season ticket books, and now we're going back to the Falkirk Herald. You know, it used to have the supporters' club
information. It's true though, because it was a staple because
star rating.
Yeah, yeah,
well,
exactly.
See, this is what we brought back with Falkirk Daft
Herald
rating.
Star shot.
Did they still get the star? No,
I don't know. I've not bought a Herald in a while.
That's terrible.
I know.
That's terrible.
When was the last time you bought one?
I think I bought one for the Waynes when they were getting their school pictures or something.
Actually, that's probably the last time.
My mum buys it every week though, so I must check it out and see if we've still got the star show. I hope I have.
I preferred the Herald though, when it was like the big massive, you know, when you had to actually like go and sit on the floor
to read it. Yeah.
But on the back page was brilliant because it was mostly all Falkirk and you'd have a bit of Stenisphere in the corner, a bit of Shire in the bottom corner.
Cayman Juniors.
Maybe two or three pages on. And then, but the top left was always like, this was how you knew if it was a big game, because like the supporters bus section would either like be a tiny wee paragraph or like a big massive article on it. But that's great. It's old school, but yeah, bring it back.
Right, as well as going to the women's game, we're all going to go out and buy a copy of the Herald as well. You don't get a Falkirk advertiser anymore, do you?
No, that's a long time ago.
I know, Falkirk advertiser was rubbish, but just full adverts.
Well, that was the point, yeah, wasn't it?
That's true. Scott Honeyman's away on loan to Alloa. He's a lad that's got big potential, and I think that'll be a really good test at Alloa. We know, like, they've taken a lot of good young players. Like, when you look at, obviously, Bobby Wales was there, Tyler Stephen, Boy Sutherland, who was at St Mirren. I think he just went down south for big money as well.
Ross McKeever.
But it's a really good place to develop players. And you know, League One, Scott, that step up for Scott is going to be great for him.
No, it's a brilliant move because obviously he was with the Shire previously and he got rave reviews, loads of Man of the Match awards, scored goals. I think this will be a perfect loan move for him. Yeah. Is it for the full season or is it January?
It's just till January.
I like that. Now, it's the reason I'm saying that is because every time I've seen him, and it's mostly been like pre-season games, isn't it? I've really liked the look of him. And if it was up to me, and it's, as we know, it's John's team to pick, unlike what he said to Adam on Friday on Falkirk TV.
By the way, can we just go back to this, by the way? I don't know if anyone's seen. Poor Adam, who does the media, the club, right? He's been dug out so many times in recent interviews. Even in post-match yesterday, he got absolutely dug out by John McGlynn. And then, you know, John, if you watch the pre-air interview, just totally dug out. Saying, are you picking the team now, Adam? You know.
Yeah, exactly. It was class. It was proper. Like John's got banter behind them, as well, you can tell. Yeah. But it's John's team to pick. But I think Scott Honeyman has got a massive future at Falkirk. I really do. I would like to see him come back and fight for potentially a place on that squad, because he's obviously not been getting on the bench.
Well, the problem with him is he's got Alfie, because he plays on the right, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So he's got Callum and Alfie, and then potentially
Calvin Miller's been playing there as well. It's tough. But listen, he must learn so much. And he'll still be training with Falkirk, I assume, because Alloa will train in the evening. So the days where he's not training with Alloa, he'll probably be in and about the stadium. He'll learn an awful lot for these guys, but I really like the look of him. I think he's got something about him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't know what term is his contract. He got another year to maybe turn on after this.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Because you wouldn't like to see him. You do really well, no. And then obviously
goes away.
So fingers crossed. Got to thank our sponsor. We were in there yesterday, Behind the Wall. We took advantage of the bus deal, which is great. £10 down to the stadium, pint afterwards. Right. That was £5.
£5 on away game. £5 a home game.
£5 a home game. Oh, that means I transferred 10 quid to you, so you owe me a fiver. I thought it was 10. You're at it, Ross Wayne.
You're a tight get, aren't you?
Oh, jeez. £5 down to the ground, back up on the bus. Ross didn't go to the ground game afterwards, didn't go back to behind the wall afterwards. So I got his free drink voucher as well. So I had a couple of pints of Jarl because I thought it was just Madre, Asphalt, and the Staropramen. But then Big Brian said, no, you can have a wee ale as well.
Thanks very much.
I'll have a pint of Jarl, please, barkeep.
There we go. So it's a brilliant deal.
So yeah, absolutely brilliant deal. Get there and. You know what we keep saying, why would you not do that? Yeah. Bust down at the ground, pint afterwards. What a great partnership.
Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. As you said, £5 for a home game, £10 for an away game, unless it's Ayr or Greenock, when it's £12.50. But that offer, as we keep saying, still applies. You'll get back to the behind the wall, you get a pint of your choice, or even a cheeky wee ale, potentially. Brilliant. And talking of buses, obviously Tuesday night is the Livingston home game, and when we spoke to Scotty behind the bar yesterday, there's about half the seats have been taken, which actually sounds it is good because it's a school night, isn't it? So a lot of people don't go to the pub, but if people are looking for a convenient way to get down there, it will be another big crowd, and the buses do tend to get in and out quite quickly. See Scott behind the bar.
Absolutely. And lots of entertainment coming up at Behind the Wall as well. The Good Egg Comedy is happening with Gary Little. Definitely go and check him out. He's brilliant. That's 18th of October. And of course, two nights after Falkirk Daft, the legend that is Kiki D with Carmelo Lugeri will be on the same stage that we are on Friday night. I'm very excited about that, sharing the same stage as Kiki D did. And of course, me and Ross will be duetting at Falkirk Daft Live. Don't go breaking my heart. Have you been practicing?
Not yet, but it sounds like this is happening. So
absolutely. 100%. That's how we're going to close. Big finale.
Right.
It's going to be our big finale. Talking of Falkirk Daft, there was a couple of tickets came on available this year. They've gone. We'll keep you posted on our socials if any more come available, because I know a lot of people were asking to try and get in, and people were coming up and saying, can I get on the guest list? And I'm like, it only holds so many people.
I know.
It's like 200 people. It's an absolute sweat box the last time. We've got to hopefully get a couple of surprises up our sleeves as well.
We do.
As well as Lee Miller, who's coming along on the night. We've got Big Grant, who's doing the quiz. The Falkirk Daft TV boys are going to be on stage talking through the season as well. Really looking forward to it.
Can't wait.
We're debating. Ross is currently debating what is walk-on music's going to be.
There is a couple of choices. A couple of choices. One which my daughter seems quite heavily favoured for, and then we've got another one. So I won't give the game away now.
I've got a couple of surprises. And we've got to mention, actually, we've not mentioned it, our collaboration with Pints and Prints.
Yes, so that just got launched on Friday. So check out our socials. We'll add the links here as well. So, yep, collaboration with Gordon Hall's Pints and Prints. Brilliant website. Loads of t-shirt options on there.
I got a Latapy one, which is amazing.
It's class.
Love it.
Loads of Falkirk stuff on there. Scotland as well, for those that go away with Scotland. Loads of brilliant options. But there's two Falkirk Daft t-shirts. So if anybody is looking to get one and wear it on the night, order as soon as you can. There's a navy t-shirt, a black t-shirt with the Falkirk Daft logo, and then we've got the traditional Highlander option as well, that you can see on the screen there too.
I have got a special t-shirt made up for Falkirk Daft Live, which will be unveiled on the night. I cannot wait for that, by the way. That's all what's happening at the club. But let's get into the game yesterday, and we're going to introduce her. She's our guest pundit. She's been on here. This will be her fourth time. So I'm going to click my fingers right now, and magically, Elsa Fantini will appear, much like Elsa in Frozen.
Way!
Look at that. That was magic,
wasn't
it? Just by magic. There we go.
It's great to see you in person. Oh. Were you just seeing your Zoom screen? That's your fourth time on Falkirk Daft.
I know. I'm coming a bit like Ross Vitality, but it's on the podcast. That's
true. Absolutely. Absolutely. But we've changed up the questions because we know about you, Elsa. We've heard all your Falkirk memories. So who's the worst player that's played for Falkirk? Elsa's too nice. She's going to be like Scott and just duck the question.
I've come
she?
Up with an alternative answer.
Okay,
here we go.
So I can't do the. Let's be honest. There was a whole squad under Hartley that we hated. So let's not go there. But if I was to say, it's more about the connection with the players.
Right.
I'm going to go back to the last squad that Yogi had, and he was a bit of a Marmite character, I think. Burton O'Brien.
Oh, he was Marmite.
And it wasn't. It was him. It was him and Stevie Lovell. I just didn't really connect with them the way I did with some of the other players in the squad. So they weren't bad players, you know. I'm not saying they were good or bad for us or otherwise, but maybe didn't connect with them.
Do you know what the problem with Burton O'Brien was, I think? See, because he was like, and it was quite reported quite heavily that he was on a lot of money at Falkirk. See, when you know someone's an expensive player, that extra weight of expectation is there. So you want him to be amazing, and he wasn't, was he?
I think that was probably the time, to your point, I heard the cries for the crowd were more about, you know, you're a thief, you're a wage thief, that kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that was it. So I'm not going to say any players that I think are rubbish, but maybe players from that squad I don't think
I
connected with.
All right, okay, fair enough. Right. Burton O'Brien will add his name to the list there. I like that. Let's talk about Ayr then, shall we? It was good to be back to winning ways, wasn't it, Ross?
It was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Because obviously we hadn't played bad the week before. Not that bad anyway. Mm. And we didn't get the result we wanted. So as we've talked about, there was an expectation on us to come out and show what we're all about. And we did that. Boy, did we do that.
No, absolutely. A couple of changes to the squad. Finn, Alfie and McKenna all dropping out. Aidan Nesbitt obviously was going to come back in. 100. We all know he's the golden child. So Aidan came back in along with Calvin Miller, who was probably unlucky to lose out at Wraith. And then Gary Oliver coming in to play the nine as well. And making his 100th appearance for Falkirk. I can't believe that.
Yeah, there must be a few players who are coming up to their 100th I was about to say cap there, but it's not cap.
Gary's been three seasons. This will be his third season with us, would it be right?
Yeah,
would that be right?
That's right. So we know Leon McCann's already had his. I'm thinking back to like that time. Big call. He must be soon. Finn Yeats must
Leon
be soon.
Leon had 100 appearances now.
Leon has. I'm not sure about Call though. Who else was that first season? Hendo must be. Finn Yeats, you forget Finn Yeats was one of the first signings from John.
So there's
a few players who must be there or thereabouts with their 100th. I keep wanting to say cap.
I know what you mean.
100th appearance. What do you get? Do you get anything for 100?
I don't think
like,
so.
Do the club do it?
Sometimes you get that shirt made up with 100 on the back and you just get a cap, a picture of you holding up. I think Nesbitt did that recently. I seem to remember doing that.
See, I think that's why I've got Leon McCann in my head. I think I've seen that picture of Leon McCann holding a shirt with 100 on it. I might be wrong, but I'm sure I have. If we were in the house, we would just quickly Google.
I was about to say,
No, I could do it over here. that also means one of my questions for the quiz later on will have to be changed. There we go. Brilliant. But let's talk about the game then. So those changes were made. Aidan Nesbitt, I think, was a shoo-in to come back. And if Aidan's fit, Aidan's going to play. I mean,
yeah.
He brought energy. I think for me, a bit with Ross, I don't think we played badly at Kirkcaldy. I just thought that final thing just didn't click. It was something just slightly off. But I thought when Nesbitt came on for the last 10 minutes last week, he was good, and I thought he's got to be starting.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised Alfie was dropped. I thought Alfie had a bit of an off day last week. And I think for me, probably speaking really honestly, I wasn't sure that Gary Oliver would be a start. I honestly thought if there was ever a chance that we were going to give somebody like Shanley a run to try and create some momentum and give him a chance to build connections with the others, now's the time, because we know McKeever's going to be out for 8 weeks. So that was probably my one surprise. Mm. And probably thinking back to my first podcast here, I wasn't really sure what the point of Gary Oliver was, and I'm going to be saying I'm totally wrong. And yesterday was immense.
I know. It's interesting because I think there was a lot of critics on McKenna's performance last week because he was playing in... an unnatural position for him as the nine. So Gary's probably a better fit in the nine. And he had a great game yesterday, Ross.
He did. He fitted in perfectly. Obviously, we're going to critique the game in a second, but the pass for the first goal was just absolutely sexy. It was like absolutely beautiful. But he was just all round, and he deserved his standing ovation that he got yesterday. Yeah. At the stadium, which was brilliant to see. 6,000 fans, almost everybody up on their feet for him. Brilliant.
First chance I had to look at Luke Graham yesterday. When he came out for the warm up, I was like, Jesus, a big boy.
He's a funny monster, isn't he?
A big boy.
Yeah, I like him.
I do. By the way, yesterday, what a colossus that boy was along. And Hendo as well. I thought the two of them, and we'll get into Falkirk Daft Rate because I think it's a real tough question this week. But I thought he looks like a player.
He does. He does. We were talking in the car coming through about the whole Drago Rocky thing, and I just think he's a big lad, but he knows how to play football, doesn't he? Like, see when he gets the ball down, like he probably more so last week, he went on
stepping out,
made a couple of mazy runs. But in terms of yesterday, what a partnership it was between him and Big Hendo.
Yeah.
As Cole said, Big Hendo.
Yeah.
He looks like a player who's been playing for years. Not just in that team, but in general. And I think, based on what we've seen so far, he looks undroppable. Now, at some point, we're going to have Tom. Big Sexy Tam back. We're going to have Call back.
You can't wait for that day.
But it's a big problem, and as we like, it's obviously John's problem, isn't it? And Adam will probably remind Adam and media will remind John of that it is your problem, John.
Yeah.
But I think that what a good position we're in. And I know we've got injuries, and Saki went off injured yesterday. Hopefully he's all right. But it's all fitting so well.
I was going to say, John,
I think it feels like when McGlynn's making signings, he's not just going, can you think back to the days previous under Gary Holt, and we had the bus turned up with all these rejects.
Mm.
It's like we're now in a position where we're making really considered signings that are going to fit with the, not just the style of play, but the type of personality. He just seems to your point, he's fitted in.
Yeah.
And I thought yesterday it was like, you look at him and Hendo together, Hendo was screaming at him a couple of times, but it was great to see. But watching his recovery runs as well, him and Keelan Adams have both got a bit of pace about them.
Yeah.
Which I think if we want to progress, and clearly we are, that you need that pace at the defence. It can't just be sitting on the 6-yard box right in front of.
I said that interesting. There was one point I think a boy got beyond him, and Hendo had to come over and cover him and knock the ball out, and Hendo went daft at him. But you could see Big Liam like talking him through all the game. To be fair, it doesn't know if he needs so much talking to right enough.
No, but listen, that's where the experience of Hendo and in fact everybody will come in brilliantly for him, because they will, and Brad Spencer in front of him as well. They'll be talking to him, making sure that as well as patting him on the back when he deserves it, giving a kick up the backside if it happens as well.
No, outstanding yesterday. Bright start from the Bairns, you know, and it was a bright first half for us yesterday. Ayr didn't really, they had a couple little spells, you know, but all right from the off, I mean, 8 minutes gone, like you said, great ball through from Gary Oliver, and a great finish from Ethan Ross as well.
Yeah, obviously the keeper slips very briefly, and I don't know if that had any bearing on the goal happening, right? However, the pass, the speed that Ethan went through at, the wee dink, did it go through the boy's legs?
Yes. I don't know if it was, I couldn't tell from the highlights, it was through his legs around, just around the side.
Yeah, it was a really nice goal.
Can we talk about Ethan Ross's Alice band though?
We have to. What? We have to.
Come on, Ethan.
It's Johnny Lawrence from Cracker, isn't it?
Well, funny you should say that, because Sean in commentary in the highlights didn't make reference to that. He just said, yes, Sensei.
Oh, yes, Sensei, that's classic. But it does, he's channeling his inner Cobra Kai.
What was the Cobra Kai motto again?
It was, strike first, strike hard, no mercy.
That was Ethan yesterday.
That was Ethan yesterday.
Striking first, striking hard, no mercy. Come on, Johnny Lawrence. New nickname for Ethan Ross, Johnny Lawrence. I love it. But no, a great finish from Ethan. And then, they came close, and there was a player that I kind of marked out before the game. I think he's been one of the best players in the Championship season. Marco Rooster, I was really impressed by him in the middle of the park. I actually spoke to Fraser Wishart, who was covering the game for radio.
Name dropper.
I went and spoke to Fraser at half time. He was saying he would do really well on a Falkirk side. And seeing the more I watched him, I
was going to agree with it. I thought there was only one player in that team yesterday that would actually get anywhere near our squad. It was him.
Yeah.
Because I actually thought they lost the midfield battle by a country mile. They were nowhere near it here. And it was just that whole thing. Roos was the only one that I saw actually trying to play a pass or trying to find a ball through or be on the end of something. But the rest of them were missing. Yeah.
I thought Ayr looked okay going forward.
At the back?
The midfield, not great.
Young boy got bossed by...
He did.
He's come with, you know, a lot of plaudits this season as well. And I think Scott Brown said in his post-match as well that it was a tough day for him.
Speaking of Scott Brown, fair play to him. Mm-hmm. His post-match interview, very complimentary towards Falkirk. He obviously said, in his opinion, he got his team set up wrong.
Oakley not starting was a strange. I assumed when I got into the ground that I'd just see George Oakley playing there, and I was like, thank God he's not playing, because he's a menace, absolutely big. I mean, you saw him coming off the bench, and I don't think he did that much when he came on, but I was quite happy that he wasn't playing from the start.
No, I was as well. I expected to see his name on the team sheet, so that was a bonus. That said, had he started, I'm not convinced.
Yeah.
They had a couple of pot shots from distance. Nicky had another solid game as well.
Everything it seemed like a magnet yesterday. Nicky, everything came right at him and just into his hands. There was one bit he did brilliant for a low ball, went across the box, and Nicky just got down to it and hooked it in. I thought it was really, really good. His distribution yesterday was excellent as well.
Fantastic.
His confidence levels look night and day compared to last season.
Do you know what it is though? I think, and this is where I had my issues last week. Sam and Nicky, obviously that interchange, it was month on, month off, and I didn't like that. I think, like you say, confidence for a goalkeeper is going to come with just getting games consistently, because there was weeks where one of them was keeping a clean sheet and then the other one was coming back in. You know, and I think, like you say, that just that run of games is really helping Nicky, So it's good to see, but yeah. We talked about Marco Roos. He pulled that shot just past the post. Nicky was diving across to get it. That first half, we created a lot of chances. Ethan should have had a second. Great intricate play between him and Nesbitt.
Yeah.
And he hits a shot, comes back to him. And it was one of those ones where you go, and you'll kind of cheer.
Had that gone in, it was one of the goals of the season contenders. By just beautiful play.
I would like to see, and I don't think there's an angle of it, from anywhere, but I would have loved to have seen like how close it was to going in, because Ethan Ross looked absolutely distraught that it didn't go in.
Yeah.
So it couldn't have been far away at all. And that, had it went 2-0 at that point, which was maybe, 15, 20 minutes in? We could have potentially went on and scored 3 or 4 just in the first half alone, because they were done.
Yeah.
They were done.
Yeah, Calvin Miller obviously had the chance as well. Good save from their goalkeeper. 19-year-old. Again, another surprise for me. I think he was only 19 years old, that boy. Looked like a wee boy as well. Harry Stone, a goalkeeper we were apparently, was on his way to Falkirk, and then Ayr came in at the last minute and grabbed him. He started on the bench yesterday as well, which surprised me.
Yeah, yeah. To be fair, for the height of the keeper, he actually came and got quite a few crosses. You don't know what's going on there. Scott Brown, like, I only see what you see on social media, Pine Bovril and Twitter and stuff, right? Scott Brown seems to like to change his lineup quite regularly. Like, he'll drop somebody not for the sake of it, but in his opinion, he's dropping someone, bringing a new person in. The stability that we have is probably one of our biggest benefits, I think.
I don't know if that whole kind of ethos of this sort of squad rotation thing, and look at what happened to, you know, Tanae Smith at Hearts. I can get this kind of modern phenomenon in the game, and you can see it, but if you're Pep Guardiola and you've got that big kind of squad, well, fine, that's great. But if, with all due respect, sitting in Scotland, you really need to do that.
Yeah.
And you should be playing to the strengths of your team. And I think when you look at, to your point, what McGlynn's brought us in the last two seasons, it's that consistency. There's been times it's been a bit of a blind spot, or sometimes as fans, we've felt that he's maybe retained players in the squad. But you've said it already, and I agree with you. we don't see what's on the training ground, and he ultimately picks the team that he thinks is going to win.
The two teams that are always on the team sheet, Tate and Spencer, thought again, coming to Falkirk Daft rated, I just thought they were so on it yesterday. But like the pressing, there was a couple of points, there was a chance in that second half where I think Brad Spencer pressed so high, won the ball, and you know, had a shot which just went over. But I thought Tate and Spencer just controlled that midfield.
Yeah, they really did. It was another brilliant performance from the two of them. They covered every blade of that pitch as well.
I don't know how many, I was trying to count up how many times Spencer made an interception.
Yeah.
Did you see it, like a toe here, a boot there?
Yeah.
You know, you would see an air player just about to pass or whatever, and the foot came out, and then there was an interception, a breakdown. We would get the ball, off we go again. It was great.
And he was doing that in the last five minutes as
still
well.
Still going.
Do you remember near the dugouts? He broke up that attack.
Yeah.
And played a ball through. I think it was to Shanley.
Good. Yeah. It really is. Like, I think these players are. I'm glad we've got them at Falkirk, but they should be playing on a level higher than certainly Spencer's.
Well, listen, let's hope they are.
So first half went. It just felt at half time though. I just felt like one of those games that they could get something, say 60-70 minutes. One and it goes 1-1, and I think no. It just felt like one of those games with the chances that we missed in that first half. But second half, again, we just come flying out the blocks once again. It was a great counter-attacking goal from Falkirk.
Yeah.
Calvin Miller did really, really well. Find the space. Ethan Ross there on the left-hand side. It was just beautiful seeing that winger-to-winger. So Calvin cutting inside, feeding that into Ethan, and, you know, cutting in onto his weaker right foot passing it into net. Great finish.
Really composed. And I think that's the thing you're seeing in Ross now. He's getting a run of games. His composure in the ball and him now scoring goals is great. I thought Miller had a better game today than he had yesterday than he had last week. I still think I prefer him on the other side.
I think we just lose
something in him. But I must admit, I was sitting there going, pass. I thought he'd taken too long. And then when he finally just rolled the ball in front of him, I thought, this has got to go in. I was off my feet before it went in. It was great.
It was one of those things where you knew it was a goal before he's actually.
Aye, it felt that way, didn't it?
The crowd senses it as well,
Like you say, you're standing up, like when that ball gets fed into him and he cuts inside, and you're like, ooh, and then
and you trust him, to do it as well, because he's now shown plenty of times, and I would need to check how many goals he's now on for Falkirk in total. It's not going to be a huge number, but the ones he has scored, they've all been really good. They've all been really well worked, and he knows where the back of the net is.
Absolutely. Remember that goal, Brent, for Martin?
I do. Oh, that was nice on
the volley.
Yeah, and his left peg.
He had a good one against Montrose last year away.
Do you know that was similar though?
That was very similar. That's the one I remember. It was his composure. Told you know, you can see somebody scoff at that or absolutely batter it. He didn't. To your point, he just passed it into the net. It was great. Yeah.
Scenes.
Johnny Lawrence.
Yes.
There you go. I wonder if you think we could get a Falkirk Daft sponsored headband for Ethan. That would be quite good, wouldn't it?
That would be. Oh, yeah. That would be good.
Falkirk Daft one.
Falkirk Daft, Johnny Lawrence style. No striker. Strike first. No
strike
mercy.
Hard, no mercy.
Absolutely love it. So, the second half kind of. There wasn't as many chances in the second half as Ayr kind of settled into it a wee bit more with the changes they made. But I thought we didn't look threatened really at any point.
No, we didn't. We limited them to pot shots from outside the box, really, apart from that one in the first half that you mentioned, which from our angle was close. I think Nicky had it covered, but it was just past the post. But no, we really did limit them. And Scott Brown, go back to his interview, he said that, didn't he? He was like, the Falkirk press was just so on it, and his players just did not match up at all. I actually think he thought they could come play their normal game at Falkirk Stadium and it'll be enough. Yeah. And it's not that they're a bad side. Listen, they've racked up 18 points at
I know, but do you know the thing as well I would say though is they've only won games by the odd goal. It's not like they're going and battering teams.
No, they're not. That's
I would say they're quite, I mean, that's the first I've seen them in the flesh, but bits and pieces I've seen them this season. I wouldn't say they're a great ball playing side. I can't, you know, they're not going to pass you to death.
No.
Quite direct.
Yeah, some of our passing yesterday, by the way, as well. I thought some of the intricate plays, some of it had my heart in my mouth when he started fanning about with it at the back.
I agree.
And Hendo, like, honestly, sometimes I love the big guy, but oh my, he honestly gives me a heart attack. He did this thing, it looks brilliant. But you're just like, sometimes just get it away. He just put this pull back there and totally. Then speed it out to the left. And he obviously, because he's played in midfield, you've got the absolute trust in him, but it leaves my heart in my mouth every single time.
I'd like to start a petition for a new song for Hendo. I know we've got a wee chorus of it.
Liam Henderson.
I know, but it's not. I just thought yesterday, you know, back to the Falkirk Daff races, I could, there's a number of people, but I just thought he was immense.
Yeah, I thought he was
yesterday. And I would like a proper big.
Like a Hendo chant.
A Hendo chant.
He deserves it. Can we just go Hendo? Hendo? No, that's not good enough.
The Ultras, though.
What's the new song they've got, by the way? They started singing it yesterday. Now, Ross, you've got the words, haven't you?
I reached out to Andy Gilchrist yesterday and he sent them on. I think I sent them to you, actually.
Yes, it says, Oh, Ali, Ali. Is it? Oh, I don't know. How does the chant go again?
As in the tune.
Aye, what was the tune again? But they were singing it yesterday. So anyway, hear the words if you need to know it. Oh, Ali, Ali. Oh, Ali, Ali. Ethan Ross in attack. Super call at the back. The boys in blue and white. We're fucking dynamite. I like that as well. Ethan Ross in attack. So we've got a song for Ethan Ross. Is there any player we don't have a song for now? I don't think there's.
Well, we've got one. There's Hogarth's got his. Super Nicky Hogarth and goals.
Right,
Keelan Adams hasn't
got a song, has he? We've got one for Hendo.
Yep.
Got one for Cole.
We'll need one for Luke Graham.
Aye.
But is there some the Rocky theme
tune? I don't know why you're pulling this Ivan Drago.
He looks like
Graham.
Ivan Drago.
Do you think he looks like a bit Ivan Drago?
It was a point yesterday near the dugouts, right? And he barged the boy out the way, he got the ball away, and then he just looked at him like with disgust, and it was like that bit where he goes, if he dies, he dies. Do you know what I mean? And I just like that for me, they're Big Drago.
Big Drago. So we need to work out who we need the songs for. We can maybe do that at the Falkirk Daft Live, and maybe we could get everyone in the room, we'll have a big brainstorming session. Yep. We'll make out some new chants at Falkirk Daft Live. Sean Mackey went off injured. Mm. Listen to John's post-match. I don't think doesn't sound like he'll be available for Tuesday. It doesn't sound that bad. It was something with his ankle. But yeah. I've got Mr. McCann sitting on the bench, who's been obviously very unlucky not to.
I love Wee McCann.
Oh, he's great, isn't he?
I just love him. Put him in my pocket.
Has Leon got a song?
No, Leon.
Do you remember the really bad one for Neil McCann?
Leon McCann can.
Leon McCann can.
Fingers crossed, because obviously what Sean brings is that physicality.
Yeah.
Leon, however, like even when he got on yesterday, getting forward
he was
balls
brilliant.
Into the box.
Well, that was what I was about to say. I thought in the second half that did actually change the dynamic a wee bit when he came on, because both him and Keelan Adams, I was saying to Ross before we started the show today, it's like I was really surprised that the highlights didn't have some of the bits towards the end of the match. Was
that
fantastic
ball, those
crosses,
balls whizzing across
whizzing
the
across,
box.
Going. Oh. They need to just toe one, you know.
I said that during the game as well. I thought if Big Ross had been on the park, I think we might have seen a couple of those being converted. Mm. There was also a header at the back post,
right.
which fell for, I can't remember, was it Gary Oliver? I think maybe had the header at the back post. I thought if Ross was on the park, I think he's maybe testing the goalkeeper a bit better. Than that, but I do think there was so many balls, like you say, Elsa wasn't across,
and it was
box.
Both of them. It changed the balance slightly, and it's not to say Sean Mackey can he do that, but you're right. I think he's got that physical presence, but I think Wee McCann brings us something.
I completely agree.
He better get a goal this season. I want to see Wee Man getting a goal.
No, the wonder goal that he scored a couple of seasons ago, something like that. But he's a great player.
It's true. That is just his one goal so far, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was that against again? Was
he was the only player not to score last season, wasn't he?
That's right.
Which was a shame. Listen, full time whistle went 2-0, and it absolutely deserved, doesn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely.
It was 2-5.
Yeah,
and shout out. I know we talked about it earlier on, but massive shout out to the crowd as well, because the players feed off the crowd. The crowd obviously feed off what's happening on the pitch. But nearly 6,000 home fans again yesterday. brilliant to see. The players must get some lift when they run out of the tunnel.
I mean, a sellout, that is really a brilliant, absolutely brilliant, the fact they've sold out the home end. And fair play to Ayr as well. You know, a team that probably is about 2,200 the average, maybe 2,500 average at home. They brought a great crowd, just under 1,000, I think.
Yeah, 970 something, I think it was. And obviously Scott Brown, going back to him, he's post-match, he talked about the Falkirk fans. He said he reckons the Ayr players were maybe a little bit spooked by the crowd, the noise, what was going on. We need to use that to our advantage. We have been, but we need to keep using that. Obviously, we've got Livingston on Tuesday night, another massive game. There won't be a big away crowd, so the home fans will be the ones making the noise.
At least there's no get the Livy drummer. Jesus.
He might bring a drum.
Oh no.
The thing is, we like our drum because it works and it brings
in. It's only used sparingly.
That's the drum.
It's not constant like the Livy drummer. It's just used sparingly as and when.
I'm going to be honest, I was a total cynic. See, when I heard the kind of ultra section was getting created and the bare drum, I was like, oh no.
I was exactly the same. I was like, unless you're Dave Grohl, we shouldn't be playing the drums.
I was moaning for East Calder. That was me. I was like, oh, I can't do this. I have to say, I think the ultras have done, they've transformed the atmosphere in the stadium. For me, I can't remember the guy it was on last season from the ultras, and he talked about, Kieran. You know, the grumblers. Aye.
Yeah.
The grumblers, you know, the ones that are grumbling. And
like you, Elsa.
Just, no. I'm a half full person. It's that whole thing for me that just changes the atmosphere. So when, you know, we do go a goal down, or we you know, someone doesn't go quite right, you get they just get right on it. They're just for me, it just, it's totally changed the tone.
Do you know what the great thing as well, I was speaking to someone yesterday as well, like all the young team that are going, right, they've got pals that are Rangers and Celtic supporters that kind of get into the Green Brigade or whatever happens at Ibrox, and you know they can't get that atmosphere because you kind of get a ticket or what have you. So a lot of them started coming along with the Falkirk games and in with the team there, you know, and that, you know, suddenly the buses aren't leaving Glasgow or whatever, you know, young team are coming to Falkirk games and maybe fall in love with the club, you know, and it just creates the next generation support. And I think that's why you're seeing the crowds go up, because of the ultras and the effect that they've had.
Yeah.
They bring atmosphere to the stadium. They bring, you know, all our, like our, all the guys we go to the football with, they're young, all the young boys have left us now and grown up and went away to the ultras now.
Got their silk scarves on.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's a really good point though, John, because if we sit just behind the family section in the main stand, and what you're seeing now is the young kids at primary schools have all got their ultra scarves on now, and they're watching what the ultras are doing, and they're replicating it. They want to be part of it.
Yeah.
They're repeating the chants. The, you know, when the scarves come out,
the section's definitely grown as well. You could just see there was yesterday, there was like they were just hanging around it because there's not enough seats there. So that whole section is now just the ultra section. You know, it's just grown and grown and grown. So it's great to see. And like I say, next season as well, try to get a season ticket for the South Stand will be really hard.
Very, very, if at all, because obviously the full stand is pretty much, you'd assume they'll renew if they can, and there'll probably be a waiting list at some point as well.
I suspect so, because all the kids don't want to get in. So yeah, brilliant, 2-0 to the Falkirk Bairns, you know, and that puts us, you know, one more goal would have put us top of the league, but two games in hand.
Yes.
So
it's a big week, big week ahead.
Big week, and we'll talk about that just in a bit. But first of all, let's hear from Mr. McGlynn.
John, you must be delighted after the disappointment of losing for the first time in a while last weekend. Probably couldn't ask for a better way to bounce back.
No, you're right, absolutely. Yeah, a bit of pressure on us today. You know, there'll be a few doubters thinking that that's a bubble burst and we would disappear into the, you know, yonder. So the guys have produced, and they've produced again. Great performance. Look, we started the game in the front foot. We take an early lead, a good lead, a really good move with Gary slipping a ball in behind for Ethan, which is again, it's something that we worked on during the week. So it's really nice when it comes off as well for everyone involved. On the front foot, creating opportunities. We scared when Bavish turned in the box, hit across a shot just, you know, wide of the post. And then absolutely delighted with Ethan Ross. You know, he's got himself two goals today. Could have added a third. Clean sheet. Nicky's dealt with everything that's came his way. Some crosses, some shots that we would expect him to save. His distribution was good. I thought the centre backs, the full backs were really, really good. Keelan, I'm sure he's got a go on him, that lad. His shot in the second half wasn't so far away, and he gets forward so many times and gets in behind the opposition defence. So a great clean sheet for Nicky, the defenders, the whole team. Similarly, I'm saying to them, like, strikers, you know, generally get the attackers generally get the plaudits when they're scoring goals, and you know, the defenders generally get it when we're clipping clean sheets, but it's a whole team effort today. The midfield was excellent as well. And make no mistake, here are a good team, and here will not be going anywhere either. You know, they're going to be hanging about, they'll be there all the way, make no mistake about that. But we've got to be pleased. A bit of pressure on us to bounce back, and great character for the players, huge character to turn on such a good performance, a really, really good performance as well. We know that everyone's got injuries, you've got injuries as well. And it's amazing that we continue to produce performances like that.
So if you listen to the full interview, he digs out Adam again in that. Poor Adam. But no, John, you can never tell. He's just, his poker face is magnificent. Yeah. You can never tell if he's happy. You can never tell if he's sad. You can never tell if he's angry. Well, you probably can't tell if he's angry, to be fair.
Yeah.
But no, he did. He seems relatively happy.
Well, listen, he should be, because of how we're playing and the wins that we've got. Six wins out of seven. Brilliant start to the season. Probably should have been seven if we're being really critical of how last week went, right? But six wins out of seven. We've got a huge week ahead. Livy at home, Thistle away. By 5 o'clock next Saturday, we'll have played the same amount of games as Ayr. How amazing, and I know it's not a gimme, but how amazing would it be to be 6 points clear of Ayr?
Unbelievable.
At this stage, would be phenomenal. It really would.
And do you know the thing is, we'll have some bumps, because it goes with the territory.
I'm interested
I'd
to see Livingston
points on the board now. So for me, the two games in hand are not a gimme, but I think, to your point, we should be confident enough to be able to say this time next week we should be in a good place.
I'm interested to see Livingston, because the only team I really haven't seen yet.
They're flying under the radar.
They are flying under the radar. And when you look at them, we'll preview the Livingston game with their only supporter just in a wee bit. Livingston have got a good squad there, and they've got cash, because obviously the parachute pulling down from the Premiership, you know, you've got about a million. They've got off-field issues, however, but we'll find out all about that. But yeah, that's the only team, because at the moment, and this is me, you know me, half empty.
Eeyore.
At the moment, I've not seen a team as good as Falkirk in this league.
Not yet. And we've obviously got two
I mean,
teams.
Ayr were obviously, you know, I was really interested to see Ayr. They obviously beat us in the League Cup.
Yeah.
You know, that was the game that we hit the bar and post so many times. But, like, there's been nothing. Thistle, I mean, like, when they came to Stadium, I thought, well, they'll be good. Albeit they were missing Brian Graham for that match. But.
Yeah, no, they were. For me, I'm still going back to day one. I think Queen's Park are the best team that we've played so far. I know we won, but I'm not going to hold that against them, because the worst team, in my opinion, that we played so far was the team that beat us, which is Raith Rovers.
Yeah.
So I think this week will be interesting. We've obviously not played Aki's yet. Aki's look a bit weird.
Aki's are...
We get a good result and a bad result.
Interested to see what Aki's... But I think it's just... Maybe I'm being, you know... Just because we saw them last season and we know what Aki's bring. They've obviously got a lot better players in this season as well. So Aki's will be interesting to see how far they've come in comparison to us, because we've generally retained the same squad as we did last season.
Yeah.
They've obviously went and improved and changed their players a bit. So Aki's will be interesting to see. But we'll get to that in a couple of weeks' time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Friday night game. So that'd be good. Right, let's see what you guys had to say. We'll kick off with Cameron, who said it was 2 going on 5, missed a few chances but played well. Starts part was a distant memory after today. Continue to Tuesday and we will be flying.
Indeed. Sam says Graham is an absolute unit in the Ayr, and the defence as a whole eased into the game and ended very well. Also, once Callum is back, Ethan and Alfie really will be fighting for their places.
Yeah. Barry says excellent bounce back ability after last week's disappointment. Comfortable victory today. Two neat finishes from Ross. Bring on the Livy. Moan the Bairns.
You don't hear enough about bounce back ability, do you?
No. Things like
that. Who said that?
Ian Dowie.
Was it Ian Dowie?
Yeah.
Dowie, there we go. go. Craig says, expected a tough game, but they hardly laid a glove on us. Ethan Ross was outstanding and deserved his standing ovation. On to the boar fest that is Livingston.
Lewis, I thought they would have been better than that. Controlled the game. Ethan Ross was excellent. Credit to you for giving us the post-match plaudits we deserve on to Tuesday.
Indeed. Gavin says, bar a 15-minute spell in the first half, there was only one team winning that game. Ayr lucky to get away with a 2-0. Roll on Tuesday under the lights, and it's obviously going to be the disco lights. We've not talked about the disco lights.
Can't wait.
Awesome.
So I believe you have to program them to a certain song. Cause I saw Dave Mack, stadium announcer, said he's been working with the lighting guys for to program the songs. And so I saw the Adagio for Strings one look banging.
It did.
We need to get some. Can we get some suggestions of what we should be programming the disco? Thunderstruck AC/DC always for me. I think that'll look thunder, flash, flash.
What was
thunder,
the one I said yesterday? Flash, was it Metallica?
Enter Sandman.
Yeah. That would be class as well.
Let's get that happening. Yeah. We'll get some suggestions for that. Ian says, Graham and Hendo were fantastic at the back. Going to be interesting when we have everyone fit again. It will be interesting. We talked about that earlier on. You know, yeah. Colin, Tom, you know, stalwarts last season, absolute, you know, legends at the back. But Hendo's played outstandingly.
How could you drop him?
How can you drop Hendo? And the boy Graham just...
Yeah, he will. Scott says we'd have been happy with a draw considering how we were who we were missing from the starting lineup. However, this team just keeps going from strength to strength.
Caskey Boy says, sign of a quality team bouncing back from a tough defeat last week. Considering Morrison, McKeever, Lang and Donaldson are out injured, makes our start to the season even more impressive.
It does. Brendan, little known crazy fact. Prince's song, Sexy Motherfucker, was actually written by about Ethan Ross 10 years before he was even born. Yeah. Mad,
that's
eh?
That's mad, eh? Mad. thanks, Brendan. Right, Falkirk Daft, here's the question that we're going to go for. Falkirk Daft rated player from yesterday. Who's it going to be? Elsa?
I have probably two candidates.
Right.
We've talked about one already, but Kendall. Yeah. I just thought he was immense yesterday, and I think to the point of him kind of marshalling that defence throughout the game. And then we did have a couple of moments where we went, get the ball. But he's just confidence, he's overall kind of almost like another captain, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
But you've also got to say Ross deserves it for those two goals. They were just sublime finishes. So yeah. Sorry, Hendo, I'm going to have to give it to Ross.
I'm going to go left field. I don't think either of you would have said this one. I'm going to go Luke Graham, centre half. And I feel bad because Ethan Ross had a fantastic game, as did Spencer, Tate, Hoagie, but big Luke Graham. He does 6,000 crowd.
I can't argue with that.
He didn't look out of place and he strolled it.
How can we not give it to Johnny Lawrence?
I know.
How can he had 2 goals?
Listen, I'm happy to go with that. I'm happy to go with him because he was brilliant.
But I'm thinking Hendo. I'm with Elsa. I thought Ethan was brilliant. Obviously 2 goals.
Yep.
Had a great game. But I just thought Hendo was an absolute rock at the back. And to your point, you know, with Luke Graham, I don't think Luke would have played as well without having Hendo there.
Yeah, probably.
So that's why I think we'll give it to Hendo this week.
No problem.
All in for that. Falkirk Daft rated player, Liam Henderson. Yeah, fantastic. That's his first one of the season as well.
Brilliant.
Who's a dafty?
I've got one. I don't know if else has
got
one.
Oh, have you got one?
I've got one. Scott Brown. Did you see his trousers?
His
trousers were at half mast.
His
cat had died, right? This is a guy, I bet he's got £1 million in the bank and he's wearing trousers that are far too wee for him. Like, what the fuck happened there? And I thought it was just me, and I was moaning about it for like most of the game, right? And then I saw on social media, everybody was having a go and I thought, brilliant.
So
fair play to him.
Scott Brown's half-mast.
Half-mast. His cat has obviously died, and the trousers are at half-mast. What an absolute joke. Like, and combine it, right, with these trainers that managers seem to be wearing.
Oh, is that the white with the white?
The black trainers with the white soles.
Aye.
And it just made it look worse. So I'm going to go Scott Brown's trousers.
Scott Brown's trousers gets it. Yeah, I'll go with that.
I'm going to go with that as well.
I was going to be Ethan Ross's Alice band, but now that there's marketing opportunities there, I'm not going to get
it. No, I like it.
I'm not going to give it to that. But Scott Brown's half mass, let's go for that for the Falkirk Daft. Brilliant. Right then. Elsa, you've been on the show before, but you've never done Falkirk Daft versus.
Yes, it's that part of this podcast where we put your Falkirk knowledge to the test, Elsa, as you go up against one of us. And this week it is the Ginger God of Pod himself.
I'm nervous for this.
And it's currently 5-0 to the Falkirk Daft Boys, by the way. So you're playing for the listeners here, Elsa.
Oh, man.
Try and get the first point on the board for the listeners. So, yeah, I've got a bunch of questions. We have to change one now because one of the questions was how many of the current squad have over 100 appearances for the club? And we've obviously established that already. Would be 4, wouldn't it? Callum, Aidan, Leon, and now Gary.
Yeah, there we go. So Gary goes.
So I'll get one on the hoof depending on how it goes. Right, here we go then. Right, okay, he's ready. So, Ross, you've got to write down your answer. Elsa, you can give it to me verbally and not watch Ross. Ross is writing down. Okay, right, here we go then. First question on Falkirk Daft versus this week. Who is Falkirk's record signing? You keep your answer. Ross, write yours down.
Us signing somebody else?
Yeah.
Okay.
Record signing.
God, I've no idea.
I'm thinking it's an obvious one, but...
It's obvious for some, not obvious for others.
Right, okay.
Is this a transfer fee we've paid?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I've no idea. I'm going to have to guess.
Right, okay. You've got some written down. Elsa, what are you going for?
I'm going for Mo Johnson.
Ross?
I've went with Crunchy.
Both wrong.
Oh.
Derek Ferguson. Signed from Sunderland by John Lambie. There you go, all those years ago. So Derek Ferguson is the record signing. Right, okay, next question. In what year did Falkirk beat the world transfer record by signing Sid Pudfoot? The only Scottish club to have ever done that.
Right.
And they signed Sid Pudfoot. What year was it?
Right, I've got... I think I know this.
Do you?
I think you might have a point here. I tip your elbow with you, but I don't.
Look at him, he's like at school at his exams, covering up his answers and then writes it down.
Should know this has been...
Right, okay, been... Elsa, go to give me a guess.
This is wrong. 1956.
Ross?
I've went 1922.
Correct. Yes. 1-0 to Falkirk Daft.
Yes.
Right, next question.
Because it was an anniversary, not that.
I know it was
100-year anniversary recently.
Yep.
Right, okay. Which club did Bota Biabi join after Falkirk?
Swansea.
Oh, he didn't give them the chance to write down the answer.
Sorry.
Do you know, I wasn't going to say that.
What were you
going to
say?
I don't know. I thought Huddersfield, but that was wrong.
Right, we're going 1-1 then, because you're very honest there, Ross.
Thank you,
very honest.
You're a good man.
I wouldn't have said
well
Swansea.
Done.
You're right, though, Was.
You just tell him yourself, do the answer. Right, just keep it in here before he's written down.
That's so excited.
Right. Well done. 1-1. Who was Falkirk's captain for the 1997 Cup final against Kilmarnock? Who was Falkirk's captain? Who led out the team in the 97 Cup final?
Write
something down, Ross.
Okay. I've got an answer.
Write it down now.
I've got it. It's written down.
It's written down. Elsa?
I have no idea. None.
Let's have a stab in the dark. You just...
Oh, man. I'm just going to say Crunchy. I know it wasn't, but I'm just going to say that.
What are you saying, Ross?
I've said Crunchy too, and I've already written his name. Fuck, I've just realised
who it was. Both wrong.
It's Jamie fucking McGowan.
It's Jamie McGowan.
I'm absolutely raging with myself. Like, I'm not even... Like, this isn't a Ewan Cameron Hissy fit. I'm
so
actually
this is the...
Am I getting your head with saying Swansea? Seriously.
This is the final question then. So if one of you gets this right and one of you gets it wrong, we've got a winner here, right?
Marsh is making
I'm having to make it on the hoof because my question, the other question's null and void.
He's going to trip me up here.
Right, okay. On the hoof. Talking of the 97 Cup final, who scored in the semi-final first game before the replay? Who scored the Falkirk goal in the first game in the semi-final against Celtic? The 1-1 game. Scored the Falkirk goal in that game?
I know this, Elsa.
I'm going to have to guess it, so I suspect you've got this then.
No, Elsa, don't do this.
Sorry.
I I thought we were going to beat him.
I know.
Okay, I've got my answer. Look at his little smug face.
This better be right now.
I really hope it's not.
I'm making a guess here. I think it's Paul McGrillan.
Paul McGrillan scored the goal in the replay. What have you written down, Ross?
Kevin James.
And he's right, it's Big Jinky James.
Congratulations. There you go.
Play the Champions League music. Well done, Ross. 6-0 to Falkirk Daft. Will anyone be able to defeat us or will we go invincible?
I think the Falkirk Daft, sorry, the Falkirk TV guys will be desperate to take that crown.
They will love to take it. They'd love to beat us. So that's going to happen at Falkirk Daft Live. Elsa, thank you so much for being a guest pundit. Fourth time, great to see you again. Thanks for coming through to Coin Bank.
Thank you, it's been lovely. Thank you. It's nice to see his glorious Technicolor.
In HD, it's amazing. So thanks very much. And we will be back with more Falkirk Daft versus and a review of the Partick game next week. However, we've got 100 episodes, we've got to celebrate in a special way. So let's do that right now by speaking to our captain, Col Donaldson.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
So it's our 100th episode, so we're going to do something a bit special now as we welcome Falkirk's captain and Falkirk Daft's player of the season last season. It's Col Donaldson. How you doing, Col?
I'm good, guys. How are you getting on?
Not bad. I want to know, Col, where is the Falkirk Daft trophy currently sitting on the Col Donaldson mansion?
It's actually right above my gaming setup, so it's in prime position. Don't worry, guys.
Love it.
Good.
Love it.
Good to hear that. Good to hear. How's injury, mate?
I was just speaking to Ross there. It's a bit of a struggle just now, mate. We're trying to get to the bottom of it. I've had all sorts of different sort of scans. I've saw different physios. I'm going to see a specialist next week, so hopefully once we get to the bottom of it, I can get a sort of plan. And as the modern term now is a sort of return to play date. So, it's a wee bit stressful just now, but it makes it a lot easier when you get to watch games like yesterday, which was a really good performance from the boys, and it was a joy to watch. I'm sure you three will agree.
Yeah, what did you make of it? I mean, obviously, young Luke Graham's come in and taking your place and just seems to fit like a glove into that team.
Yeah, Luke's been quality. Obviously, we played against Luke last year when he was at Montrose, and I actually thought that he stood out in that Montrose team. So it's a good loan move for him. Do you know what I mean? He's coming in a winning side. It's another step up in quality for him. But he's done really well. And I actually felt that he played really well last week. And it was obviously a bit of a sore one in his first game to lose. I don't think he deserved to be on the losing team. But yesterday, he just looked so composed and assured of himself. Obviously, he's got Kieran next to him who's doing outstanding as well, and Big Hendo. But Luke's done really well, so it's brilliant to see. Do you know what I mean? The gaffer's buzzing with him, so long may it continue.
Col, in terms of, he's only been there a fortnight, but does he have a nickname already? Because we've already noticed the similarity between Big Drago from Rocky movies. Has he got a nickname yet, or do you think that one could stick?
I don't think he's got a nickname. It's a bit like me, do you know what I mean? When you're that sort of size, you just get Big put in front of your first name. So it's Big Luke, Big Cole, Big Hendo, do you know what I mean? It's just, it's the three ones. He's a bit of a quiet lad, but he is starting to come out of his shell a wee bit. It's a bit of a daunting changing room to come into. It's full of idiots, to be honest. So
I saw Hendo having a couple of goes at him and talking him through the game yesterday, but he's, like you say, he seems to have settled in really, really well. Col, we've not really had the chance to speak to you. Well, we spoke to you pre-Alloa game, pre-Invincibles. You were obviously suspended for that game and enjoyed a couple of pints at Behind the Wall that night. But how did it feel from sitting in the stands from a player's perspective when Brad smashed that penalty?
Amazing, mate. Amazing. Honestly, probably the best feeling I've had in football, and for it to come off the pitch was a bit surreal. I actually changed seats about four times that day, trying to because I sat down in one seat and then Alloa scored, so I'd move, and then honestly, I was an absolute bag of nails. But it was a great day, and I think you saw that the sort of outpouring of emotions from the fans that afternoon. It was sort of years of hurt sort of built up, in a sense. I feel obviously the Montrose night was really good, but that trophy day and the celebrations that followed. Obviously, the night that we had on the Friday was a really good night. Do you know what I mean? I thoroughly enjoyed myself that night. And yeah, it was just great to see everyone so happy. And Brad's penalty will live long in the memory of every Falkirk fan, I'm sure, that season now. It went from a very special season already to that invincible season, like you say, and it was a great day.
Yeah.
Well, so obviously we've got off to this start of the season, absolute flyer. You know, six wins out of seven now.
Six out of seven.
Have the aims changed, or has there been any change in the squad? Like, because obviously, I think we're budgeted for fifth. You know, playoffs is maybe a target, but are we? I mean, are we getting ahead of ourselves now thinking that we're in the title hunt?
Well, we're not getting ahead of ourselves, but you probably are, John.
Yeah, listen, I'm level-headed. If you've listened to the podcast, I'm Mr. Half-Glass Empty. Ross will be like, Ross has already got the T-shirts made up, Cole.
Well, listen, yeah, exactly.
No, I think you do. You need to guard against that. Our aims have always been to try and win every game. I think that's as simple as you can make it. We're a confident bunch. We've got an ambitious manager that believes in us. We believe in ourselves. So we just wanted to be a hard game every week. That was the sort of the mantle at the start of the season. And we also talked about how hard it is to build momentum in football and build that confidence. And we've got it, so use it. Why not try and start as quickly as possible and keep things rolling? And I think yesterday was a huge game in terms of that was our first league defeat in over a year. So there was eyes on us yesterday. There was talk of how will they react? How will they sort of face adversity? So yesterday was big for us. But no, our aims haven't changed, and our aims will stay within the four walls of the change room. I'm sure you guys will appreciate that. I think we're conscious of the fact that you just make yourself a target. You come out and say daft things in the press and you just build the ambitions up. But no, we've got our aims, we've got our targets, and we're working towards them. We're working very hard. I think, you know, the gaffers, like I do, there's no letting up. Yeah. Like we were in this morning, video was already done on air, looking ahead to Livingston. So yeah, we've got our aims, and we're working hard towards them.
I think that's it's the best way to be, Cole. Like, as you said, like, we can sit here and chat about how well we think we're doing or how well we hope to do this year. But from a playing squad perspective in the club, it is important that we stay sort of quietly confident, but we're doing or talking on the pitch rather than putting cartoons out on social media or things like that, that obviously you guys will see as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important, though, that you let fans be ambitious and have dreams and don't come out and say, like, and just, do you know what I mean? Like, piss on their parade sort of thing. It's not our job to get carried away. Our job's to do the things on the pitch. But for the fans, it must be great. You must be really enjoying it. I'm watching it yesterday from a fan's perspective and just a joy to watch. Players putting on a show. Like, Ethan was outstanding yesterday. Cartoons and things like that is something that we'll try and avoid because we're just trying to stay in our lane and sort of focus on ourselves. And we'll leave that up to the other teams in the league.
You mentioned Ethan Ross, John. We were chatting about in the car coming through. He's obviously Johnny Lawrence after he's of Cobra Kai and Karate Kid, now that he's got his headband and stuff on as well. Is that a form of inspiration for him, is it?
I think Ethan's been threatening to do that for a while. Ever since Ethan came in the door, I was really surprised that we were able to get a player of Ethan's quality in League One. Mm. And he's obviously found it a wee bit difficult to break into the team. I think that's a sign of the quality of the players that he's trying to break in front of.
As you said, Cole, you were sitting in the stand yesterday. You saw it from a fan's perspective too. The near enough 6,000 home fans in the stadium. The players must be absolutely buzzing with that as well.
Class, mate. Yeah, it is. It's brilliant. Like, I see a tweet, I think FC every Saturday, that I'm not sure the Twitter account, but they post the attendances of all the champ games.
Yeah.
You see it as well?
Yeah, I know the one you mean.
And ours is like double the net in second place, and that's, you deserve so much credit because it would have been easy for you guys to stay away after the sort of previous 5-6 years. So the backing is something that we've talked about we've talked about as well, but if we can start the season well, this place will get full. The atmosphere will be brilliant. Use it to our advantage. And that's probably the biggest shift that I've seen in my time at the club. I think that opposing teams, when they would come here, would talk about being able to turn the fans and use the fans to their advantage. Whereas now, Scott Brown came out yesterday and said that their players look spooked with the atmosphere. And
that's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good. It is. You want your home ground to feel like a hard place to come. And I feel like we're well on our way to making our stadium a really tough venue for teams to come and play in.
Brilliant. Well, Cole, listen, we'll let you get on your way. I see you're in training just now, and you've got things to go and things to do. But listen, thanks for coming on our 100th episode. And fingers crossed we see you back on the pitch soon, mate.
No, congratulations on your 100th episode, guys. Very well done.
This is just like getting a telegram from the king. We've got a telegram from Cole, you know. This is exactly
King Cole.
Exactly. King Cole, brilliant. Super, mate. Listen, thanks a lot, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Right, cheers, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Cole.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
So, Ross, we've managed to track down Livingston's one and only supporter to preview this game, because we like on Falkirk Daft to preview all the games that we're going into. And Livingston, big game on Tuesday night. They're unbeaten. We've already taken Ayr's unbeaten run. Can we take Livingston's on Tuesday night? We'll find out as we speak to their only supporter, Stuart Barry. Hi, Stuart.
Hello. We've actually got as many supporters as we've had years in the Premier League. So there's five of us. How many supporters have you got equating to Premier League years?
Oh, over the years. Thousands.
Stuart, thanks very much. Stuart is a friend of mine. He's constantly trying to drag me to Livingston games. He constantly tries to drag everyone to a Livingston game. If you're a friend of Stuart, you'll have been to a Livingston game.
If you're just wandering around the Almondvale shopping centre.
Yeah, exactly. Try to double their support, you know. That's so he's managed to do that on a few occasions. You must be fairly happy with how the season started, Stuart.
Delighted. The big difference for me is this season we're spending our time trying to win games rather than what we've done for the last two seasons is trying not to lose games. So it's far more exciting. We're a much more open attacking team. Defence is solid, but we go forward regularly. So that's an absolute blessing to see that.
I guess for supporters there is that, isn't there? Like, because Livingston have done very well. You know, Martindale obviously just known for just keeping you guys up there. But actually, when you drop down a level and actually start seeing your team putting wins on the table and seeing your team win, you know, a couple of games in a row or what have you, you forget that actually must be quite a nice feeling.
We'll start off with the basics. Seeing goals, that's brilliant. We scored three goals the other week, and I think we have to go back, and somebody might correct me on this, to when we beat Hearts 5-1, to the last time we scored more than two goals. So seeing three goals is brilliant. And it feels better. It feels more, dare I say, our level. The standard in the Championship is really good. Mm. But the games are really good as well, so that makes a difference.
Stuart, see, in terms, when we were doing a bit of prep for the podcast, we're looking at a look at the squad that you've assembled this year. It's a strong squad, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I think Davey's done really well. And for years of saying how little money we've got, we're the easy jet or the easy budget with the Lidl, the Aldi of the Premier League, which is all true. This year he's saying he's got a competitive budget. He's not saying he's got the best, but we've got enough good players in there. We've kept some of the good guys from last year, brought some really good experience in, and we've got some really good young players. So really happy with the squad is, and what we're in 2 months in, gelling together nicely.
Who have been the standout players for you this season, Stuart?
I think for me, Scott Pittman has reinvented. He's our longest serving player. He's also our most capped player, or the most kind of appearances. And he's just been a revelation again this season. I really like Jamie Brandon in midfield. McGowan at centre half has been brilliant. We really needed stability, and he brings it in as well. The fullbacks are decent. We've got some really good quality, and Liam Soule, who's really tricky. Robbie Muirhead for me is probably the guy that surprised me the most. I think he's been brilliant. He's really good going forward. Got a good goal threat, a good bit of aggression about him as well. he's been good, but the star man is Stephen Kelly, ex-Rangers, really good, dare I say, silky footballer, which I know for a Livingston team's a bit of a misnomer, but he's been great pulling the strings in the middle of the park. So, you know, I've named most of the team there, that's because we're playing well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Arch, but, you know, obviously Livingston come with this, you know, hoofball kind of, that's what kept them up there. Has the style changed much since you've been down in the Championship?
Definitely. Just to go kind of back a few years, the Livingston hoofball reputation first started when we had John McGlynn as manager, and he was famous for the hoofball. Whatever happened to him, eh? I think he went and joined some wee team somewhere, some
seaside. He's doing well.
Yeah, but it's ironic that he's got the reputation for playing good football. But this season, we're playing a lot more football. You've got a chance to play football in this league, because even though the teams are on you quickly, you can still get the ball down and play, and we've done that, and we're playing with three forwards, and we're getting the ball quickly. We can still get it forward, we can move it quickly, we, you know, lump it forward, but we've got the players to chase after it and make something of it, which we used to do. But a lot more football this season, a lot more passing, and a lot more chances, so, you know, everything's positive there.
Sure. See, in terms of your signing, so I was having a look through, and you've obviously mentioned a few there just now, but the two that's really interesting for me to find out how they're getting on, you obviously mentioned Ryan McGowan, who's a centre-half from St Johnstone, who I think probably had a pick of clubs in the Championship, and Stevie May, who's a recent loan signing in. Mm. Stevie May, if we start with him, how's he fitted into the Livingston team? Is he the Stevie May that we all remember?
Well, the first thing to say is it's much more like the Stevie May we remember, because he's been in the Premier League with the standards really high. He's not been getting a game regularly for St Johnstone. He's a starter for us, and he's a natural born Livy player. He runs for every minute he's on, closes down. If you say there's areas he had to improve, it'd probably be his goal scoring. You know, but, you know, he doesn't really get as many chances as he would like, I'm sure he would say. But his closing down and his work that he does off the ball is phenomenal. So he's fitted into the team brilliantly, and seems to be enjoying himself as well. You know, I think he just seems rejuvenated. You know, but back when I remember he had that Samson haircut, and it was all over. But that was when he was at his prime. He was outstanding, and he's a lot more like that, despite running about with a haircut like mine.
So is it a 4-3-3 that Davies employing this season, Stuart?
4-3-3 for the optimist. 4-5-1. Yeah, our forward guys get back a wee bit, but that's modern football, isn't it? Your forward players defend, and there's one thing Davey's really good at, is shape, and we've been really good this season. Very tight at the back, and we still get forward quickly, and I think the guys, he uses his subs wisely, Davey. We've got a brilliant, strong bench, and I think that'll be the game changer. And I think that's what we'll do well. I think it's where Falkirk will do well. I think other teams in the league won't have his strength and depth as both of us will have. So you maybe see a separation of the teams in the future as well. But the squad doing brilliantly, and we're still Livy. We don't like to give anything away.
Yeah. Do you think the U's have done better than you expected this season so far, Stuart?
That's a hard one to say, because as a Premier League team coming down, you're expecting to be there. For most of the fans, myself included, minimum is to get a playoff place, and I think we'll get that easily. Having seen that, enough games this season, I think now we can look at challenging. I think we'll be there or thereabouts at the top end of the table. Will we win it? I think if we can avoid injuries, we'll be a strong contender, put it that way.
We were talking actually earlier on about looking at the teams around us, and there's no one. I'm really interested to see Livingston, because so far, you know, we budgeted for fifth. You know, playoff was kind of a hope, and now we find ourselves near the top of the table. And I've actually not been that impressed so far by any teams. We were saying that Queen's Park probably been the most impressive team that we've played so far. But like Thistle, Wraith, like I've not been, even though Wraith beat us, I've not been overly impressed by them. Who's the team that you've seen that have impressed you the most this season?
This is the nature of the league. The two teams that last week or a couple of weeks ago, we played Airdrie, and they were really strong. Their running was really good, and we ended up beating them comfortably. But for 60 minutes, it was really competitive. And you mentioned about Thistle, and they've not had a good season, but yesterday they turned up and they gave us a right battle. We had a really good game with them. I say the teams that haven't impressed me, I think Raith, they've kind of struggled at the start of the season, hence, you know, with the no manager. And I think Dunfermline, we've played them a couple of times, and yeah, I think they've got a really tough season ahead of them.
Interesting.
Yeah, looking at the league table, Stuart, obviously looking ahead to Tuesday as well, Livy's got such a good defensive record. They've only let in 3 goals in the 7 games that you played so far. Is it more of a defensive style and then you're counter-attacking, or you mentioned there it is an enjoyable watch, so I assume you are attacking a bit more than you maybe had been?
Or attacking a lot more than we have been. We're a team that can play in transitions. We get forward quickly. Livy's always done that. We're solid at the back. McGivern brings that. He's just a leader. And people like Michael Nottingham, who perhaps in the Premier League got found out because the standard's so high, and he's been a really solid. And a couple of new fullbacks who bomb up and down as well. But they're good at, you know, Livy are good at putting the tackles in, bodies on the line, all that kind of stuff. So defensively, we're solid. But it also helps when you've got a really dynamic midfield. And you've got your Pittmans and Kellys and Jamie Brandons who are solid, and they really get back in numbers and help the defence out. But at the same point, the midfielders, so they're creative as well and start a lot of attacks. So I think we've got the balance really well this season.
Yeah. What do you think the score's going to be on Tuesday, Stuart?
Now, it's a tough one to call. I'm not sure if we'll win, but I don't think we'll lose either. I can see both teams scoring, so I'll probably go for a score draw. It could be a high score draw, you know, like a 2-each or something like that. So I'll go with a draw, and I'll be an optimist and say 2-each.
Ross?
I agree. I think it'll be a tight game. I think we may just shade it because we're at home, and we know what we can do at home from an attacking perspective, but we're defending well too. I'm going to say 2-1 Falkirk.
Right, okay. I said last week on the podcast, if we got 4 points out of these 2 games against Aaron Livingston, it puts in really good stead. And as I said last week as well, it makes us title contenders, you know, sort of, you know, from going what we were saying, we said at the start of the season, playoffs is where we'd love to be. But I think if we manage beating Ayr and we get something against Livingston, I think that puts us well in the way to being title challengers for this season. So I think I'm going to go with Stuart, actually. I think it'll be a draw. But after seeing Saturday, obviously, my worry was with what's happening up front in that 9th spot, but I thought Gary Oliver really came into it. So initially, I'm going back of myself. I thought a draw, my head's saying draw, but my heart's saying 2-1 Falkirk win, like yourself. Well. Like yourself. So yeah.
I think there's a wee change in the season, though. I think your result on Saturday beating Ayr puts you know, right up there as a contender. And I think that changes the mentality of the rest of the league. You're now the team to beat. Whereas maybe at the start of the season, you were the team coming up, so perhaps teams never really thought you were the scalp that you were. But now you're the big piece, so people will want to beat you guys. And I think you'll see people raising their games. Like Partick Thistle raised their game against us on Saturday, no doubt about that. And people are going to do that with Falkirk. So you might be struggling when you come around playing the second circuit teams. I think it'll find it a wee bit tougher.
It's going to be interesting, Stuart, because one criticism that Raith Rovers supporters always levelled at John McGuinn was that when the Cocks go back, John struggles. But, I mean, obviously that didn't happen last season, so we'll wait and see. But, yeah, I think it's a valid point. I think it's a valid point. But, yeah, we'll go for a 2-1-1 for Falkirk on Tuesday. Why not? Stuart, thank you so much for joining us in Falkirk Daft.
Cheers, guys. Good luck, Saturday, and I hope you get smashed.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Stuart Barry there, Livingston supporter. Great to hear from him. So that's Livingston on Tuesday, then we roll on to Partick on Saturday, Ross.
Yeah, it's a Partick Thistle away is never an easy game, right? Regardless of how well
I'd say great that the Cubs have moved it to the Saturday, because it was originally scheduled for a midweek, wasn't it? Like a Tuesday night, and then because obviously we're not in the Challenge Cup anymore now, Thistle, they've moved it. So
moved it forward. It's
a 3 o'clock kickoff though, interestingly, which I thought is a bit unusual considering the Scotland game's a 5 o'clock
kickoff. Yeah, you thought they might have dragged it forward maybe to two or 1 o'clock. being honest, it's not great for me because I was able to make the original game and I can't make this one due to holidays. So,
well, it's the same as me because I've got a family do. I thought, oh, great, that's a free weekend.
Falkirk TV for that weekend.
Yeah. So I'm hoping my uncle will be able to get it on Falkirk TV as well.
Yeah, so, but it's disappointing because I do like, you know how much we love a wee day to Maryhill.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think so because Maryhill is not the best place in the world, but the pubs in general round that area are really good. But in terms of the game, it'll be tough. In terms of Thistle, they don't really know what they're doing. They, like, if you look at their last five or six games, they lose, they win, they draw, they win, they lose, they draw. So they're all over the place. So who knows what we're actually going to play against, to be honest, in terms of like how confident they are. They got a brilliant 0-0 there with Livy. And it is a good, because Livingston had just won 3 on the bounce. So that is a good point for Thistle to have taken at home on Saturday there. But yeah, I do expect a tougher game than we got against them at the stadium because naturally they're at home. It's a grass pitch as well, and it's a decent grass pitch, so that'll be good. It's just an interesting matchup. They are, on paper, a team that should be in the top four. They're not currently. They're nowhere near that level. But there's a long way to go in the league, as we know.
Yeah, no. I mean, when he came to our place, didn't have Brian Graham. So presumably, I don't know, I've not seen the team from yesterday, but I think he's maybe back and playing now. So he offers, you know, a big threat. We know what he offers. But yeah, they weren't that impressive. We played right round them, and I know there was a lot of grumblings about Chris Doohan, certainly from the supporters.
Yeah,
but I guess getting that draw at Livy, or drawing against Livy, is a good result for them. It's a chance, when you look at this, we could be, but this, if we're sitting here next week, we could effectively be 6 points clear at the top,
which would be absolutely brilliant. I know we said that earlier on, that's the utopia, that's where we want to be. It'll be a tough week because playing Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday is tough mentally and physically for the players, right? Partick Thistle don't have a midweek game, so they have that extra couple of days. But the momentum that we are carrying just now, even with that loss, because see if you think about that loss to Raith, we hadn't played massively poor. The crowd were still behind them. We had nearly 2,000 punters at Raith. They clapped them off, standing ovation after the run. They've came to the Falkirk Stadium yesterday, 6,000 fans backing them. Their confidence is so, so high. Now, granted, we've got Tuesday first, right? But Saturday will come, there'll be another big Falkirk crowd there, I'm sure, regardless of whether Scotland's playing or not. There'll be a big Falkirk crowd there. Thistle, yeah, I'm sure they'll be up for it. It's Falkirk, they want to beat us as well.
They want to kickstart their season.
They will,
they want to kickstart, because it's like you say, it's been up, it's been down, it's been up, it's been down for Thistle supporters this season. So they'll really want to put down a marker, and they will. Would be, you know, if we are going, hopefully by that point, top of the league, they'll want to
put, of course they will,
put their marker down and say, right, we're still in this, we are still title challengers. But for us, you know, if we go beat Livy on Tuesday and then beat Thistle on Saturday, it's huge.
Well,
absolutely huge.
If those two results happen, and I know it's all ifs, buts and maybes, if Manny had balls and stuff, but we're currently what, 9 points in front of them.
Yep.
That's what, 15 potentially we could be in front of them with a win on Saturday, assuming we beat Livy. It's a massive, massive gap. Even 12, say you weren't to win against Livy, even, and then winning on Saturday, 12 points in front of Thistle, as a fellow promotion hopeful, that's a massive gap.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. What's score going to be?
Again, I think we will defend pretty well. I'm hoping there. But we have our shooting boots on as well. I'm going to say 2-0 Falkirk.
You never back anything.
No, listen, I have my nerves.
I love the optimism, I do love the optimism.
Listen, why not?
Why not?
Why not? Yeah, exactly. We've won 43 on the spin. Undefeated 43 in the spin there, right? Didn't deserve really to lose against Raith. Let's keep the confidence high. Who knows? Expected, unexpected, etc., etc., etc.
I'll go for a 1-1. I'll go for a 1-1 draw at Thistle.
It wouldn't be the worst result.
No, I don't think it would be.
These are bonus games.
Exactly. So we'll see where we are this time next week. 6 points ahead.
Come on, whisper.
This is Falkirk Daft.
with Behind the Wall and the Falkirk Football Fans in Training.
And that is it for Falkirk Daft. 100 episodes long.
Amazing.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for Captain Cole coming on. Really appreciate it. And Elsa for coming into the studio with us there. NHD today. Love this as well. Get used to this.
I quite like this.
It's quite nice, isn't it?
I know. Could we? We'll just do this next week.
I'm not coming into work every Sunday. I've done that all for too long
I know,
now.
I know.
But we'll do the odd one, the odd special one from here, because it is nice, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So thank you very much for listening or watching. If you haven't watched us before, this is the week to watch us,
because
we look all fancy in our HSD studio here. Remember to rate, review the podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get it. Join our socials. Just type in Falkirk Daft, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can see clips of the shows and all our banter up there. And subscribe to the YouTube. Like and subscribe. Do that, please. That would be great. Over 1,000 subscribers now, which is fantastic.
Yeah,
you'll get notifications of when the latest podcast drops on there. And merch. We've got new merch, which we've not even spoke about.
How could we? And we put a post out. We said we promised.
Well
we'd
done.
Put a post
you
out.
Took up the minutes from last week. You actioned the minutes.
We
well
did.
Done, Ross. So we've actually added new stuff to our merch stall, which is merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk.
There's a ton of stuff on there now.
Just you can get Falkirk Daft jackets now. You get Falkirk
Daft
shorts. You can get joggies. You can get leggings. You can get basically anything you want with Falkirk Daft on it.
That's
you can
it.
Get that on our merch store. So check it out, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Another post this week, because we sold one t-shirt this week.
We did, from the merch site,
yes.
And obviously, as we said earlier on, we've got our new
Pints and Prints
collaboration. And I think Gordon said there was half a dozen of sales yesterday morning, just as it went live. So absolutely fantastic. So it'd be great to see some people at our live event or at games wearing a Falkirk Daft tee. That would be nice.
Do it. And remember, if you want to sponsor any of the episodes, as well as our fantastic sponsors Behind the Wall, Falkirk Football Fans and Training, thank you very much. You can sponsor episodes as well. Just drop us a line, john@falkirkdaft.co.uk or ross@falkirkdaft.co.uk. And we've got a Discord as well. Someone was amazing. You've got a Discord? I went, yes, we have.
Of course we do.
We've got a Discord. We are down with the young team. So join the Discord channel. The link is below and you can chat with like-minded Falkirk supporters on there. Right, okay, that's us for 100 episodes. 100 more, Ross, we can manage that, can't we?
I'm sure we can. And the next 100, 200, we could be at Premier League, maybe.
Always the optimist.
I know.
But that's why you say it every episode. This is why you say it.
Expect the unexpected, buddy. I'm on the bounce.